The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Allow me to read the words. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainties concerning the things you have been taught. Let me begin with an announcement. Reverend Lee Jae-chul had initially been taking a month's leave after receiving radiation therapy. Despite needing absolute rest due to his deteriorated strength and weakened level of immunity, Reverend Lee returned in March to minister the Lent, Holy Week, and Easter events. The strenuous schedule adversely affected his condition, and in the May meeting, the standing committee decided that the Reverend should have 3 months of rest at least and recuperate, as per the doctor's recommendation, and would rest until the end of August. Reverend Lee will return to his official duties in September, but will only give one Sunday sermon a month until December, as advised by the doctors. So in September and October, Reverend Lee will be giving the Sunday sermon on September 14th and October 12th. One of the greatest books in the history of Christianity is Institutes of the Christian Religion, written by John Calvin, a French pastor and a leader of the Protestant Reformation movement. This book is considered the textbook of 16th century Protestant Reformation. The first edition, consisting of one section of six chapters, was written in 1536 when Calvin was 27 years old. The final edition, consisting of four sections and 80 chapters, was written in 1559 when he was aged 50. This was 5 years before his death. The book was written with the purpose of helping Christians better understand and interpret the Bible, as they were now free to read the Bible after Martin Luther sparked the Reformation movement in 1517. There was another important purpose to the book, and that was to defend Protestant Christians who were being persecuted by the Roman Catholic Church. Institutes of the Christian Religion is prefaced by a letter to King Francis I of France. Francis I succeeded Louis XII, and he is often called the father of French Renaissance. Many of the masterpieces displayed in the Louvre Museum were created during the reign of Francis I. In October 1534, placards denouncing the idolization of the Pope and attacking the Catholic Mass were posted in various parts of France, including even the King's chambers. This incident led to Francis I seeing reformers as rebels and oppressing those who followed the movement. John Calvin was finally forced to flee France because of this incident. The letter to Francis I and the preface of Institutes of the Christian Religion begins like this. To his most Christian majesty, the most mighty and illustrious monarch, Francis, King of the French, his sovereign, John Calvin prays peace and salvation in Christ. Sire, when I first engaged in this work, nothing was farther from my thoughts than to write what should afterwards be presented to your majesty. My intention was only to furnish a kind of rudiments, by which those who feel some interest in religion might be trained to true godliness. But when I perceived that the fury of certain bad men had risen to such a height in your realm that there was no place in it for sound doctrine, I thought it might be of service if I were in the same work both to give instruction to my countrymen and also lay before your majesty a confession. This letter is 34 pages long in the translated version. The letter ends like this. Your mind is now indeed turned away and estranged from us. I add, even inflamed against us. But your goodwill, we are confident, we should regain, would you but once, with calmness and composure, read this our confession. But if the whispers of the malevolent so possess your ear that the accused are to have no opportunity of pleading their cause, they will be subjected to bonds, scourgings, tortures, maimings, and burnings. Most illustrious King, may the Lord, the King of Kings, establish your throne in righteousness and your scepter in equity. Basel, August 1st, 1536. The French Protestants of 16th and 17th century are called the Huguenots. They were given the right to practice their religion through the Edict of Nantes that Henry IV proclaimed in 1598. However, in 1685, Louis XIV revoked the Edict of Nantes to establish Catholicism as the religion of the state. As a result, a large number of Protestants in France were persecuted after the revocation. Thousands were imprisoned or forced to labor in slave ships, and at least 200,000 Protestants left France for neighboring countries of Switzerland, the Netherlands, England, and parts of North America. There are many types of crosses in the world. The Huguenot cross has a pendant dove below the cross, which symbolizes the Holy Spirit. But in times of persecution, a pearl symbolizing a tear replaces the dove. This is the tears shed by the church in times of persecution. Institutes of the Christian Religion was an exposition of the Christian faith during the times of Reformation, when the general population had not yet been allowed to read the Bible by themselves. It was also a petition defending Christians under persecution. The Gospel of Luke was written to Christians during the first century when it was not allowed to confess Jesus of Nazareth as Christ. The Gospel explains who Jesus is. It is also a confession of faith by Christians who were being persecuted by the Roman Empire and Jewish authorities. The Gospel of Luke starts like this. Verses 1 and 2 testify, "Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us." Luke wrote this letter to write an orderly account of things that have been accomplished. The things that have been accomplished refers to the Jesus Christ incident, and the Gospel of Luke is an account of this incident. What this Jesus Christ incident is, Luke explains in the letter following the Gospel of Luke, which is the book of Acts. Acts 1, verses 1 and 2 goes, In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To summarize the things that have been accomplished, to summarize the Gospel of Luke, it is all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. Things are being accomplished every day in this world we live in. But not all things accomplished are published in the newspapers or broadcast in the TV news. Not even channels like CNN that broadcast the news 24 hours could tell of every single thing that's happened around the world. The newspapers or the TV news tell only a tiny fragment of the whole story. Newspapers painstakingly mull over which things accomplished to publish and which story should go on the front page. Likewise, TV channels take great pains to decide what the top news of the day will be. In verses 1 and 2, those who wanted to tell of the things that were accomplished of the Jesus Christ incident were those who considered the Jesus incident to be the front page news of the newspapers and the top news of the news channel. Luke writes that the things that have been accomplished were accomplished among us. At the time, most people didn't think the Jesus incident was important. At least during the first century, only a small minority thought it important. But in the 2,000 years since, no incident has been as important as the Jesus incident. Take a pair of scales to weigh the Jesus Christ incident and any other incident of the world. In every comparison, the scale will tilt towards the Jesus Christ incident. In fact, if you put the Jesus Christ incident on one scale and all the other things accomplished of the world on the other, it would still be the Jesus Christ incident that wins. At least, that's how it is with us. That is why humanity's history is divided into before and after Christ. Luke was not one of the 12 disciples chosen by Jesus. Luke wasn't even a Jew. So how could he have written the gospel? That is because he recorded just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us. The eyewitnesses probably included Mary, mother of Jesus, Jesus' brothers in flesh, the 12 disciples, and the 70 disciples mentioned in Luke chapter 10, as well as all those who had met Jesus in his lifetime. Luke is writing an orderly account of the things accomplished just as delivered by the eyewitnesses. That means the story of Jesus Christ that he is writing is not one made up of imagination or the result of deduction. It is an account of an incident as happened on this earth as part of history. The Greek word for minister is huperetes. This means servant, attendant, helper, one who serves or attends. The original meaning of the word was a galley slave, a slave who rowed in the galley of a ship. A galley slave does not row as he pleases. Whether he rows or not, how fast he rows, which direction he rows, all depend on the commands of his master. The galley slave just needs to obey the command of his master. To become a minister of the word means that I, as a servant, obey the command which is the word given to me. The story of the Lord that Luke wrote is an account of confessions by people who considered the word of the Lord to be their master and they themselves to be slaves. That is why this gospel is a story about people who staked their entire lives for the Lord and the word of the Lord. We are here today able to listen to the gospel, all because these people did not hesitate to even sacrifice their lives when delivering the gospel. In a sermon I gave a few years ago, I talked about the lyrics of the hymn Once to Every Man and Nation, or hymn number 586 in the Korean hymn book. The third verse of the hymn starts like this: By the light of burning martyrs, Christ, thy bleeding feet we track. This hymn isn't about how we must walk in the path of the torches that the martyrs are holding out for us, or how we should follow the shining examples of the martyrs' lives. By the light of burning martyrs, Christ, thy bleeding feet we track. Jesus wore a crown of thorns on his head. He was whipped. He carried the cross to walk the walk of atonement. That path was strewn with the blood drops that he shed, and his footprints were covered in blood. We have to follow those footprints, but we can't walk in this path because it's pitch black. This road is lightened by the bodies of the martyrs who are being burnt. That is how we are able to follow Christ's footsteps, one footstep at a time. This is what is meant by the light of burning martyrs, Christ, thy bleeding feet we track. The reason the martyrs did not reject such lives and followed the path in silent obedience was because they considered Jesus more precious than their own lives, and they accepted the word of the Lord as the word of eternal life. Luke chapter 1 verse 3 continues as such: It seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus. Because Luke had never met Jesus himself, he had to rely on the testimonies of eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. But that doesn't mean that he simply wrote down whatever they told him. Luke, too, had followed all things closely for some time past. The Korean verb 미루다 that is used in the verse means to put off something to a later date or to pass on a job to someone else. But this isn't the only meaning. There is another meaning: to reflect on something based on something else that is already known. This is the meaning as used in the passage. Luke didn't merely record what was known about Jesus. Based on what was known, he reflected on even more facts starting from the beginning. That is why, while Matthew, Jesus' disciple, begins his gospel with the birth of Jesus, Luke begins with John the Baptist, who was born 6 months before Jesus and who prepared the way for the Lord. Not only that, while Matthew recorded the genealogy of Jesus starting from Abraham, Luke starts with Adam and even goes beyond Adam to record about God who created Adam. All this tells us what great efforts Luke took to record the gospel from the very beginning. Moreover, as I mentioned last Sunday, Luke recorded various touching personal stories about Jesus' childhood that aren't recorded in the other Gospels. Luke was able to record these stories because he had very carefully and meticulously reflected on Jesus' ministry and teachings. Through Luke's detailed reflections, we are able to meet with Jesus Christ, who is completely God and who came to us completely human. If we too reflect carefully on the Lord and have a correct faith in Him, other people too could meet with the Lord through us and our lives. Verse 4 goes, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. The reason Luke followed so closely and meticulously the testimonies of various people from the beginning was so that Theophilus may have certainty in his faith. The literal translation of 확실하다, the Korean word for certainty, is to not slip or fall on something. Luke wrote this letter so that Theophilus can be convinced that what he heard was the truth, and so that Theophilus can become a Christian who doesn't slip or fall on the word. It is important to note when the Gospel of Luke was sent and to whom the letter was intended for. Let's read verse 3 again. It seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus. Institutes of the Christian Religion was written to Francis I, and the Gospel of Luke was written to Theophilus. Institutes of the Christian Religion was a petition for Christians persecuted in the 16th century, and the Gospel of Luke was a petition for Christians persecuted in the 1st century. Theophilus is addressed as Most Excellent Theophilus in this letter. The Greek word for the title is Kratistos, meaning a most valuable person. This title was only used for officials of the Roman Empire who were of the rank of governor or higher. In the New Testament, this title is used for only three persons: Theophilus, Governor Felix, and Governor Festus. The governor is the topmost official sent by the ruling empire to the colonies. He possesses absolute power within his district, holding political, economic, and military authority. The governor wasn't someone that was easy to approach, especially by someone like Luke. Yet Luke wrote an orderly account of how Jesus Christ came to this earth and how he rose from the dead to this high-ranking official. The Gospel of Luke was written in the 7th century AD. The circumstances when Luke wrote this letter were similar to when Calvin wrote Institutes of the Christian Religion. Christians were being brutally persecuted throughout the Roman Empire. In 64 AD, during Nero's reign, a great fire broke out in Rome. The Christians were blamed for the great fire of Rome and suffered unspeakable persecution. First, Peter was martyred. Three years later, in 67 AD, Paul was also martyred. Also, at the time, the city of Jerusalem was besieged by Roman general Titus. For 4 years since 66 AD, Jerusalem was besieged. Most of the people held captive within the city died from starvation. Throughout the empire, Christians were persecuted everywhere. At the time, to admit that one was Christian or to even side with Christians was to put one's life at risk. It was during such times that Luke wrote a long letter to Theophilus explaining who Jesus Christ is. The letter explains how Jesus Christ came to earth, what he did, what he said, who followed him, and who opposed him. It also explained how Jesus Christ was killed and what happened after his death. Luke was risking his life in sending this letter. Luke appeals to Theophilus that those who follow Jesus are not denying the world, that in fact, serving Jesus Christ as Lord is the best way to live in this world. Luke's letter had a powerful impact on Theophilus, and Theophilus became a Christian. Verses 1 and 2 of Acts chapter 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. In the book of Acts, Theophilus is no longer called Most Excellent Theophilus. Somewhere between the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, Theophilus had become a Christian. How joyful must Theophilus have felt when meeting the Lord through the Gospel of Luke that Luke had written to him. Jesus, who was born the son of a lowly carpenter, who had neither wealth nor credentials, who was from Nazareth, and who died a shameful death on the cross, was the Savior who humbled himself to come to this lowly place to give him, Theophilus, eternal life. Jesus' title was incomparably higher than his, for Jesus is the eternal King and the God who created him. How moved must Theophilus have been when he realized this? Maybe he even sang praises, singing, O happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. That is how Theophilus went from Most Excellent Theophilus to Brother Theophilus. Theophilus is a compound word of theos, meaning God, and philos, meaning love or friend. So the name Theophilus means one who loves God, one who is loved by God, or friend of God. In this world we live in today, Jesus Christ is not respected, and he is even treated as a nuisance. The Lord shed the blood of atonement on the cross for us. He loves us and guides us this day. But we in our lives have dragged his name through the mud. John Calvin wrote Institutes of the Christian Religion to Francis I. Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke to Theophilus. Now it is our turn to write to the Theophiluses of our lives about who the Lord is and what it means to follow the Lord. And we must write this Word of God with our lives. The Theophiluses in our lives could be our family members, friends, colleagues, the society in general. And we are writing a letter to them with our lives. As we write with our lives, the Theophiluses, who were once distant and hard to approach, will become friends of God's, and we will become the Lukes of this world in whose lives Jesus shines through. Let's pray. Father God, John Calvin wrote Institutes of the Christian Religion to Francis I to explain what the Protestant faith is and to vindicate the Protestants. Luke wrote to Theophilus at the risk of his life so that Theophilus may have certainty concerning the things he had been taught and to defend the Christians who were being persecuted. Through the Gospel of Luke, Theophilus became a Christian. Now, help us to write your Gospel to the Theophiluses in our lives. John Calvin wrote Institutes of the Christian Religion on paper, and Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke on parchment. Help us write about you on our hearts and our lives. In today's world, when the Lord's name has been dragged through mud and the church is being shunned for not being what it should be, help our lives become accounts of the gospel that could lead the Theophiluses of the world who do not know you or know you only slightly to have certainty about you. Help us to not complain about this world being dark and bleak, but to rather move our hearts so that we yearn to be more like Luke and shine as a light in the world. Help us all become Lukes and partake in the grace that allows us to shine as a light in our own respective lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.